We've been seeing the trend lately toward movies that are lavish sequels to old TV classics, like Dennis the Menace, The Addams Family, The Beverly Hillbillies, and the forthcoming Flintstones. The publishing world has been doing the same. Scarlett O'Hara, Sherlock Holmes, and Mrs. Maxim de Winter are all materializing in local bookstores in somewhat altered states. Maureen Carrigan has a review of two successful sequels.
The creatures that emerge from most literary sequels usually end up looking more like Frankenstein's monster than they do their old selves. Sure, the essential body parts are there, but a reader can't help but be distracted by all those big bolts and sloppy stitches that hold the production together. But sometimes, literary sequels are more than just clumsy copies of the originals. In her new novel, Sherlock in Love, author Sina Jeter Naslund has discovered the secret of creative animation. She assembles odd fragments from the Conan Doyle stories and then takes the liberty of adding some modern feminist flourishes. The result is a surprisingly moving mystery that's also one of the most believable Holmes and Watson spin-offs I've ever seen in print or on film. Sherlock in Love opens with this awful announcement from Dr. Watson. To begin with, Holmes was dead, and had been dead for well onto 2 years. And who was I without Holmes? It's a December evening in 1922, and the elderly Dr. Watson is sitting alone in the gloom of number 221B Baker Street. To ease his grief, Watson has decided to write Holmes's biography. But when he places an ad in the London Times asking for other friends of Holmes to contact him, sinister things begin happening. Watson's journals are razored to shreds, and he's threatened by an evil Holmes twin and by the infamous woman in red, Irene Adler. Out of desperation, Watson assumes the unfamiliar role of detective. What he discovers convinces him the terrible secret of Sherlock Holmes's life must never be divulged. There are clever tales within tales here, featuring angry suffragists, a stolen Stradivarius, and Mad King Ludwig of Bavaria. But the simple story that frames all the others is the most haunting. It's the story of old Dr. Watson trying to restore his dear friend Holmes to life by writing about him. By the end of Sherlock in Love, even the most skeptical of Naslund's readers will believe such miracles can happen. A just-published sequel to Pride and Prejudice, entitled Presumption, is not quite as dazzling, but it lives up to the modest promise of its subtitle, an entertainment. The first chapters of Presumption update us on the fates of two of literature's most beloved heroines, the Bennet sisters. Elizabeth is now semi-happily married to that moody Mr. Moneybags, Fitzwilliam Darcy. Jane is becoming adept at playing dumb in order not to outshine her amiably foolish husband, Mr. Bingley. The rest of this sequel focuses on a minor character from Pride and Prejudice, Darcy's sister, Georgiana, who's now navigating her way through the perilous 19th century marriage market. Presumption was written by two women who jointly call themselves Julia Barrett. They share a talent for mimicking Austen's epigrammatic wit. For instance, describing Georgiana's conversation with an eligible bachelor, they write, "Georgiana rewarded him with that most brilliant of womanly rejoinders, rapt attention." Austen fans are an especially protective bunch, so they probably won't reward Presumption with quite so high a compliment. But they might well praise it by invoking that famous double-edged comment Austen once made about a social call. Austen wrote, "It was a delightful visit, perfect in being much too short."
Maureen Carrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Presumption by Julia Barrett and Sherlock in Love by Sina Jeter Naslund.